K228 Philomath on 104.3 FM and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO's end of year drive is happening right now. We invite you to become a member today by going to kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to 44321. Contribute now through December 31st and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 thanks to the generous support of the Ronnie S. LaCroute Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation. Join the KBOO family today at kboo.fm/give.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available at our website. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. We have an excellent program queued up for you today, but before we begin, we want to remind our listeners that KBOO is in the middle of their fall pledge season. Please take this advantage of an opportune time to give charity, sadaqah, to our community. Visit kboo.fm/give to become a monthly sustaining member today. Today we have a full hour program for you. First up is a beautiful lecture by Sheikh Faraz Rabbani entitled Repentance, Patience, and Gratitude.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين إمام المتقين النبي المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأحبابه إلى يوم الدين. الحمد لله, we're continuing to look at renewal by the book, looking at key qualities of those believers who renew their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the blueprint of Imam Ghazali's Ihya. And today we're looking at three central qualities that it would appear that one should look at them separately, but there are reasons to look at them together. And these are the qualities of repentance, of patience, and of gratitude. And these are three qualities that are thought of very distinctly. That repentance is something that you do from sin. Patience is something that you do when you have a hard time. And gratitude is what you do when there's a blessing. And that is true. However, all these three qualities are required at all times. And all of these three qualities are of the qualities that Allah mentions are the qualities of those whom He loves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves the oft-repentant. And He loves the patient. And He loves the grateful. And there are numerous verses of these, that Allah is with those who repent. Allah is with the patient. Allah is with the grateful. So we're going to look at how true gratitude encompasses both repentance and patience. And true gratitude is the state of the Prophet ﷺ and the state driving true consciousness of divine oneness and true slavehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the verse that we're going to look at, it's actually part of a verse in the context of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's address to Sayyidina Sulaiman, is from the 34th surah, verse 13. اعملوا آل داود شكرا وقليل من عبادي الشكور. Act, O family of David, with gratitude, for few of my servants are truly grateful. For few of my servants are truly grateful. So the contextual address is to the family of Dawud alayhi salam. But all the prophets came with one call, which is the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the virtues entailed by that call are shared. There's no religion, there's no revelation in which gratitude was bad and lying was good. Right? The virtues entailed by divine oneness, right, the qualities of the heart in his relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're the same in all previous revelations. So here, though the command is to the family of Dawood, this is a command to all people, right? With gratitude. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ شَكُورٌ. Few of my servants are truly grateful. So gratitude is the key to being of the most beloved servants of Allah. Not only because this is something the prophets were commanded, because there are few servants who have true gratitude. So those few servants would be the most beloved of servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اعملوا آل داود شكرا. Act with gratitude of family of David, for few of my servants are truly grateful. Imam al-Ghazali explains that gratitude, shukr, has three integrals. The first is to recognize blessings as being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is to appreciate that blessing. And the third is to express that appreciation as befits the blessing. Right? So to recognize the blessing as being from Allah, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. You have no blessing except that it is from Allah. And to appreciate the blessing. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. To appreciate it, to be happy with it, to be content with it. Like gratitude has a sense of being pleased. Sometimes you say, Alhamdulillah. It's like, how is that being grateful? Oh, well, Alhamdulillah. That's not great gratitude, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say in the bounty of Allah and in His mercy, in that, let them rejoice. هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. It's better than all that they amass. And then to express the appreciation as befits the blessing. That's the third aspect of gratitude, which is why the ulama give a beautiful operational definition of gratitude. That gratitude, they say, أَشُكْرُ صَرْفُ جَمِيعَ مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ. They say, صَرْفُ الْعَبْدِ جَمِيعَ مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَى مَا خُلِقَ مِنْ أَجْلِهِ. Gratitude is for the servant to direct every blessing that Allah has blessed them with towards what Allah created that blessing for. Okay? Gratitude is for the servant to direct every blessing that Allah has blessed them with towards what Allah created it for. So everything you have is a blessing from Allah. And there's a purpose for which Allah created everything. And you shukr is to direct everything towards what Allah created it for, what is pleasing to Him. So we look at what is entailed by true gratitude in a moment. But we can preface it by saying that gratitude entails repentance. Why? Because if you consider that whatever you have was granted to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any deserving, then whatever you do, Allah deserves better. So you always would be repenting, especially when you sin. But even when you do good, you feel remorse because you could have done better. It's like if you have a special guest at your house, you do everything that you were able to do for them, but you still feel that they deserve better. I wasn't able to do more, right? But if you consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever you do, Allah deserves better. Which is why after the prayer, we seek forgiveness. Because Allah deserves better than however we prayed, even if you prayed. If you pray well, do you skip the sunnah of saying astaghfirullah 3 times? Salat, today it doesn't count. Wallah, asabtini, I really nailed that prayer. No, because however you prayed, the Prophet ﷺ constantly sought forgiveness because he felt always that whatever he did, Allah deserved yet better. So gratitude entails repentance even when you do good. But at the very least entails leaving sin. Which is why Imam al-Junayd, when he was asked, what is gratitude? He said, "Ashukru Allah ta'asi Allah bima an'ama alayk." Gratitude is that you not disobey Allah with what He blessed you with. So gratitude entails tawbah. If you see the blessing as being from Allah, how could you disobey the one who gave it to you? And it entails patience. Right? And entails patience, which is al-thabatu ala mardatillah. Patience is to remain firm on what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so one definition that one can give of true gratitude is gratitude that is constant and that is ever accompanied by renewed repentance and by an ever refreshed commitment to steadfast patience, to sabr. And we'll look at that in a moment. What does true gratitude entail? Right? This is a question that we should ask, because وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Few indeed of my servants are truly grateful. Right? The Prophet ﷺ, his state was أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a servant who is truly grateful? Right? Which is why they say الصبر استفراغ الطاقة. Patience is to give all that one has. And that's what gratitude is. Right? They say, is Imam al-Junayd asks, what is gratitude? He says, أَشُكْرُ بَذْلُ الْمَجْهُودِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِّ الْمَعْبُودِ. Imam al-Junayd was also, what is gratitude? He said, gratitude, shukr, is to give all that one possibly can, is to exert one's utmost in the presence of the one worshipped, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you're in His presence. If you're in His presence, yeah, like imagine if you're in the presence of the one you owe everything to. And let's say, you know, you are deported to a banana republic. But the king of the banana republic, or let's not, it's not meant to like put down bananas or wherever bananas grow. Let's say a mango republic. So the president of Mango Republic gives you a job and gets you married and gives you a house and does this and does that. And then you get to meet him and you owe them everything. And they let your family come over. You'd have been killed otherwise. Now you go in their presence. So you wouldn't be just like, yeah, hi, how are you doing? And then you're busy with the mangoes. The mango slices and the mango juice, and you say thanks and you go away, right? You'd think like, how do I express my gratitude to President of Mango Republic, Mangostan? Okay? So, but you are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all that you have is from Allah. Not just all that you have, but ni'matani la yanfakku anhuma mawjudun qat. Nothing in existence is bereft of two fundamental blessings. Ni'matul ijad wa ni'matul imdad. The blessing of being originated. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has there not come to man a time in which they were not anything worthy of mention? It's from the opening of Surah Al-Insan. And it's from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to recite Hamim Sajda and Surah Al-Insan in the Friday prayer at Fajr, at least sometimes. وَنِعْمَةُ الْإِمْدَادِ. And the blessing of being sustained at every moment. And let alone everything that says he has granted you, right? And completely enveloped you in his blessings, ظاهراً وباطناً, manifestly and subtly. Right? Should I not be a servant who is truly grateful? أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Now, Imam al-Qushayri points out that in the Arabic language, shukr. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, of course, in the Quran, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, we will grant you increase. But linguistically, the word shukr comes from increase. Is that which bears fruit. Right? So he tells us, for example, that al-aslu fi shukr az-ziyada. The origin of gratitude is increase. Right? Right? The shakira is the things that grow under the trees, right? Because of the abundance of the tree, right? And an animal would be called dabbatun shakura idha adharat min as-samni fawqa ma tu'ta min al-alaf. Right? A grateful animal would be one that grows fatter than what you fed it. That's the origin of the word. Shukr is from increase. More came than was expected. That's gratitude. Right? So one sense of the shakur, the truly grateful, right? The shakir is the one who is grateful. The shakur, the fa'ul pattern in the Arabic, is min al-kathra wal-mubalagha. It's from expansiveness and emphasis. That the shakur is الَّذِي يَشْكُرُ عَلَى النِّعْمَةِ فَوْقَ مَا يَشْكُرُ أَمْثَالُهُ وَأَضْرَابُهُ. That the truly grateful are those who express their gratitude above and beyond what others express of those in similar circumstances. Which is why one of the sunnahs that is neglected is to be expressive regarding all one's emotions. And this is a good habit in many Muslim cultures. We won't ask the Canadian Syrian or the Canadian of Syrian roots, but we'll ask the Syrian Canadian. You know, if you're in Syria, you do someone a favor, they just say shukran and they walk away. Would people generally feel a bit insulted? Right? Like you do someone a big favor, you say shukran and you walk away. Of course, you feel hurt. Right? Why? Because the basis of expression of gratitude is to be expressive. Right? And that's a striving to be not just to express shukr, but to be shakur. Right? Which is why part of how we practice gratitude with Allah is we're dealing with people, we should be expressive of one's gratitude. That's what's commanded socially. And what's demanded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That consider those who are grateful and strive to be more grateful than those who are grateful for each blessing. So what do people do who are grateful for the blessing of sight? Right? They direct it to look with the eye of reflection on Allah's blessing. They use it to look at what's pleasing to Allah. They use it to look at the Quran, to seek beneficial knowledge, to look with the eye of mercy. Many, many ways that people use the blessing of sight in a way that's expressive of gratitude. So to be shakur is to be more grateful than those who are grateful with respect to that blessing. Right? So that's, so there's an inherent expressiveness in shukr. Right? Now, what's the difference between being grateful and truly grateful? Imam Al-Qushayri puts it beautifully. He says, a shakur, right? He says, وَإِذَا كَانَ النَّاسِ يَشْكُرُونَهُ عَلَى الرَّخَاءِ فَالشَّكُورِ يَشْكُرُهُ عَلَى الْبَلَاءِ. That if the grateful express gratitude to Allah in good times, the truly grateful are those who express gratitude to Allah even in bad times, in distress. Right? That is, right? As one of the poets said, عَذِّبْ بِمَا شِئْتَ غَيْرَ الْبُعْدِ عَنْكَ تَجِدْ أَوْفَ مُحِبْ. Right? Of course, this is not meant literally, right? Torture me with what you will, except being distanced from you, you will find the most loyal of lovers. Right? That is true gratitude. قُرْبِي وَبُعْدِي سَيَّان عِنْدِي لِأَنَّ رُشْدِي فِيمَا تَقَسَّمْ. Whether you draw me close or you keep me distance, it's all the same to me, because my good is in what you have chosen for me. Right? So this quality, right? قَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. We should ask ourselves, how can we be of those few servants? Right? Some said that the grateful express their gratitude for what is given. The truly grateful express their gratitude even from what's prevented from them. Right? And few of my servants are truly grateful. Imam Al-Qushayri said that the essential quality of those who are truly grateful is that there are few whom when the blessing comes, see the blessing as being from Allah. Because most, when a blessing comes, يَحْمِلُهَا عَلَى الْأَسْبَابِ, they ascribe it to the means. Right? So let's say you applied for a job. They said, they accepted my application. No. To be truly grateful, you behold the blessings as being from Allah. Because most, they see the means first, and then they see, oh yeah, it's from Allah. Like, you know, it's sort of long distance correspondence. Oh, way back there, it was from Allah. Right? But the truly grateful behold the blessing as being directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Ibn Ajiba in his tafsir says there's three levels of gratitude. There's a general gratitude, which, as we mentioned, is from blessings. That's a big deal. Because it is that everything that Allah has blessed you with, you see it as being from Allah. And then you appreciate it. Then you express your appreciation. High gratitude, this is shukr al-khawas, is to be grateful both for blessings and for tribulations. Why? Because the tribulation, who sent it? The tribulation, who sent it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? لِيُخَفِّفْ عَنْكَ أَلَمَ الْبَلَاءِ عِلْمُكَ بِأَنَّهُ هُوَ مُبْلِيكَ. As Ibn Ata'illah says, let it diminish the pain of your tribulation to behold the reality that it is He who's trying you. And are you accustomed to anything from Him except that which will be good for you? Right? But this is not the highest gratitude. The highest gratitude is to disappear from the blessings in beholding the bestower of blessings. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. You have no blessing except that it is from Allah. So some people see the blessing, but they don't see it from Allah. Those are the heedless. The basic gratitude is to recognize that this is a blessing. Higher than that, if you see it as being from Allah, then everything is from Allah, That's the higher gratitude. But the highest of blessing is to behold Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who's the bestower? To behold Allah, the bestower, then His bestowing, then that which is bestowed. And if you're a true servant of Allah, what matters is Allah, not what He's bestowed, right? We're not, your slavehood is not conditional. So act with gratitude, O family of Dawood, for few of my servants are truly grateful, right? So we can summarize by saying that true gratitude is directing every blessing, whether pleasing or displeasing, towards the best of what Allah created it for. Which is, and how do we do that? That is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is gratitude. With constant repentance, because we recognize that Allah deserves better. Which is why the believer strives for excellence in everything. Ihsan, striving to do things better. Because Allah deserves better. With constant repentance, tawbah, from one's state. And with a sense that Allah deserves better. And with ever-renewed steadfastness, sabr, ever-renewed commitment to remain firm on all that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true gratitude, which is the key to all increase, and make us of these few servants. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. And we should pay attention to every time Allah mentions something as being of the few. وَطَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ. For example, and a small group of those who are with you are those who establish worship at night, as in accordance with the prophetic way. So any quality that's of the few, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ, and few of the last times. We should always ask to be of those few, because those few are those who are truly beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And that is not difficult for Allah. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدْنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ.
You are listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Normally at this time we would be breaking away to Pathways, but today we do have a full hour program for you. Coming up next, we have a lecture by Dr. Lutaf Saadi. But first, here is our very own Imam of the Muslim Community Center of Portland, Imam Muhammad Najib.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I come to you with the greetings of peace in the Quran and Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum. How can we help? Certainly we in the Muslim Community Center, as well as other Muslim organizations and institutions, we depend upon our members, those of us who support our masjids and centers, to continue with that support. So I pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you're able to continue that support as we move forward, always remembering that take care of your families first, make sure that the provisions are there for your wife, your children, your family. Make sure that you have things there in case there is a serious emergency and we're not able to go out. Make sure you do that. This is a month to where we concentrate on our prayers. In our prayers, let us not forget the country that we live in, the nation that we live in, and the surroundings and the situations that we're in. We can give more in zakat. We can read more Quran. We can deliver meals or help institutions or those that are available to help and give. We can support those institutions. We can donate to nonprofit religious communities. We should never forget our medical professionals and our first responders. They have families too, and we should keep and include them in our prayers. For our mental and physical health, well-being, keep positive. Keep a positive attitude. These times are temporary and strengthen us. Exercise, walk, keep social distancing, yes. Keep good intentions. Keep a positive attitude. Use social media in the best way. The best way, stay informed, reach out to others in a positive way, and writing or sending a note is still possible. We should support our local businesses who have been impacted greatly by this COVID-19. and our responsibility to support ourselves, families, and communities. I remind you, as I remind myself, that these times will pass away, and we have been given guidance and the ability to bear these times. In the glorious Quran al-Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he does not put a burden on us no greater than that which we can bear. And surely after difficulty comes ease. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to bless and guide our community. Before I conclude, remember us for your donations at mccpdx.org on our website, or you can send them to our P.O. Box 12214, Portland, Oregon 97212. May Allah bless all of us, our communities, and your family with safety.
KBOO is also in the middle of their pledge drive this season. In fact, this is the final week of their $55,000 pledge. Please donate before October 16th. You can go to kboo.fm/give or text KABU to 44321. There are only a few days left for KABU to reach its $55,000 goal. So please help us out. You can donate today. Support community-powered radio and this program at kabu.fm. And now, back to Islamic Point of View with a lecture by Dr. Altaf Saadi.
Assalamu alaikum. All thanks and praises due to God. We seek God's help and forgiveness. We seek refuge in God from the evil within ourselves and the consequences of our evil deeds. Whoever God guides will never be led astray, and whoever God allows to go astray will never find guidance. I bear witness that there is no God but God, alone without any partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is God's servant and God's messenger. You who believe, be mindful of God, as is God's due, and make sure you devote yourself to God to your dying moment. So, assalamu alaikum, everyone. I want to begin by thanking Allah for this gathering, for the gift of community that we have in one another, for this space, and for giving me the opportunity to be here today to deliver this khutbah. I also begin with thanks because I will be focusing my khutbah today on one of my personal favorite surahs or chapters in the Quran, which is Surah Ar-Rahman, which focuses on the theme of gratitude and giving thanks. And it's a surah that I read often, especially just to find comfort in it. And I hope that by sharing it with you, you will find new appreciation for the surah as well. And that I'm hoping to share with you what I've learned from reflecting on it over the years. So first, for those of you who are familiar with this surah, you know that it's unique because Allah repeats the same ayah or verse over and over again throughout the entire chapter, asking فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which roughly translates to what favors or wonders that your Lord has provided you will you deny or show ingratitude. And this verse is repeated about 31 times in the chapter. So the chapter begins by describing the wonders of creation. So the sun and the moon abide by extremely precise calculation. The star, the shrub, and the tree, even they prostrate. Even the sky, going on, not to mention the earth, God sent it down for all kinds of creatures, along with grain that has stalk and flowers of wonderful fragrance. So it goes on with these beautiful descriptions of sort of the creation that we have in this world, and then the question is asked, what wonders of your Lord will you deny? Then Allah describes Jahannam or the hellfire, and then the question is asked again, what wonders of your Lord will you deny? And then Allah describes Jannah or paradise and asks the same question, what wonders of your Lord will you deny? And again, asked 31 times. And obviously, I'm a very curious person, so then when I read this and when I had first read it, I thought to myself, why does Allah repeat this question? And I think intuitively, and I think back to our parents, and for some of you who might be parents in the audience or teachers in the audience, you know that people repeat things over again, as a point of emphasis. So, which in this case is to acknowledge that all the blessings we've been given in this world and in the hereafter are something that we should be mindful of. Other interpretations I've read is in, about the context of where this chapter or when this chapter was revealed, and specifically that it was revealed to the Quraysh and that Allah is saying this as an admonition to the Quraysh, which was the tribe of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he, you know, this tribe had been given the Quran at this point, had been given the guidance of Prophet Muhammad, sort of the most exemplary messenger we have, and but they continue to disbelieve him, to attack him, to disregard his message. And so either way, the point is that there are blessings all around us. And, you know, however big or small they are, it is us who's missing out by not acknowledging this beauty that's around us. In Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 59, it is written, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. So not even a leaf falls without God's knowledge, nor a grain in the darkness of the earth. And this verse is also so beautiful, right? That reminding us that even the smallest thing that's happening around us, so even the most basic, the simplest thing of a leaf falling to the ground is occurring under Allah's purview. And it's up to us and our perspective to see that and to see everything that's around us as a potential avenue or reminder of God and God's presence. So I'm a big fan of poetry, and actually when my husband and I got married, we tried to incorporate poetry in a lot of things throughout the wedding. So we had a wall of poetry with our favorite poems, really my favorite poems, but my husband played along. We put poetry on the place cards, on our wedding invitation, and one of my favorite poets is the Persian poet Hafiz. So some of you guys may be familiar with that poet, but he writes often about being intoxicated by the presence of God, who is everywhere. And this one poem I'm going to share with you, I think, is relevant to the theme that I'm talking about today. But he asks, where is the door to God? And then he answers, in the sound of a barking dog, in the ring of a hammer, in a drop of rain, in the face of everyone I see. And I think we can all agree that in the busyness of our lives, whether we're students and we're going between classes or at work, we're going in and out of meetings, or we're in Los Angeles or sitting in hours of traffic, that it can be really easy to lose sight of that, right? Of that there's seeing God in a drop of rain, right? How beautiful is that? Or just in everyone we see or meet. Now, going back to Surah Ar-Rahman, the other aspect that I like to reflect on is that this beauty that we're so grateful for is not just around us, but within us. So the third and fourth verse of this chapter state that God created humankind, and then goes on to say, you know, God created humankind taught humankind eloquence or speech. And this is yet another area where then this question of which of these wonders do you deny applies. The incredible senses that we have are yet another thing that is, you know, so basic, and but it's still something that we can be grateful for. So even for us being able to, you know, listen to the beautiful adhan and aqama we listen to. And this concept is repeated in Surah Al-Mulk, chapter 67, verse 23. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Say, it is God who created for you the faculties of hearing, sight, feeling, and understanding. Little are you grateful. So I am a neurologist by training, and in my clinical practice, I see patients that have lost these things that we take for granted. So the ability to speak or swallow because they've had a stroke or disease like ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, losing the ability to smile, losing something that's so intrinsic to who someone is, like their memories in the case of someone who has Alzheimer's disease or dementia, Just this week, I saw a 20-year-old woman who had, and she, middle of college, started losing sensation in her, and weakness, developing weakness in her arms and legs from a disease. It's called Guillain-Barré syndrome, but essentially your immune system starts attacking how your nerves and affecting how your nerves and muscles communicate. She was 20 years old. And I walk out a lot of times out of my clinics, and I'm just so grateful for the health that I have. And at the same time, I think, how wonderful would it be if I didn't need these reminders to just be grateful for what I have, right? That I didn't need this reminder of loss to just be grateful for what it is that I have. So returning to Surat al-Rahman, it's also important to mention that this chapter, the first verse, begins with God's name, Ar-Rahman, which is the all-merciful. And I think this alludes to the reality that everything and anything that's discussed in the chapter is intimately connected to Allah's mercy towards us. So just to reflect on this, Allah is engaged in incredible act of mercy and is, in fact, being merciful right now. So if we just take a minute to think about what are some of the mercies we're enjoying at this very moment. So it might be our eyes, right? It might be this masjid, this prayer space. It might be our tongue. Maybe our parents are alive. Maybe we have children who are healthy. Maybe we have income, homes, health, wealth, friends, community. We may not have all of those things, but we may have some of them. And how many things have we taken time out to be grateful for today? So people tend to think that gratitude is a passive thing. So they say, oh, I have this house and that's wonderful, or somebody helped me today, or helped me in the past, and that's great. But I think one of the really powerful reasons that we have emotions is because they're also designed to change what we do next. And so, for example, if something makes you sad, a lot of times then you begin to avoid that thing that makes you sad. Or if something makes you really happy, you try to seek out opportunities that are similar to that to make you feel that happy feeling. And I think in that same way, it's good to think about gratitude as yet another emotion that can be acted upon, and that it reminds us that other people, so whether it's our parents, our friends, our family, that they've helped us, and maybe we can use that emotion to go above and beyond and pay it forward. So thinking about it, as with other emotions, as something that changes what we do next, something that's active rather than passive. So on that note, I do want to acknowledge that we're here during Black History Month. And as Muslims, we need to be grateful to all of the African-American civil rights advocates and activists who came before us, fought for us, and sacrificed time and their livelihoods to be here. And actually, just yesterday, so February 21st, 1965, was when Malcolm X was assassinated. He was 39 years old when he was assassinated. And I think, you know, that always gives me chills thinking about that. I'm reaching that age and thinking, you know, how young was this incredible role model and presence and change agent that we had in our community. And I think regardless of our background, we really all need to be thankful for the civil rights movement, which paved the way for this country to treat us all as equals. Obviously, there's a long way to go, and there's a lot of community advocates and activists that are still working on this, but still there's strides that we can be thankful and grateful for. And actually, just in terms of personally, I know that I would not be here if not for the civil rights movement. So my family immigrated here from Iran, and it was the civil rights movement that led to the United States to end racial quotas in the U.S. immigration system. And I know my family and many of yours might not be here without that. So when expressing thanks, I think that we should not only look at the present in terms of people we have in our lives, but Allah also tells us to look at the past as well. So in the context of this month, whether it's Black History Month or any other individuals in the past that have paved the road for us to be where we are. And we should also look at the small things as well as the big things, to look at ourselves and also the nature and the creatures that are around us, and really that Allah's blessings are everywhere. So in Surah Luqman, chapter 31, verse 12, there is a verse that goes, وَمِنْ يَشْكُرُ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ, which translates to, and who is grateful does so to profit, to the profit of their own soul. In Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verse 7, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, and remember the time when your sustainer made this promise known. If you are grateful to me, I shall most certainly give you more and more. So I want to spend the second part of the khutbah to talk about the benefit that gratitude has for ourselves, which I think God alludes to in the verses that I recite. This topic of gratitude has become a huge focus in psychological research. Something you guys might have heard is called positive psychology. There's just a number of books that are out about this, constantly being published about it. But essentially what this body of literature has shown is that there's a positive psychological effect in feeling thankful that results in just appreciating life as it is. And these benefits have been shown in physical health, psychological health, enhancing empathy, enhancing self-esteem, coping with stress, feeling more optimistic about the future, even better sleep. And again, I think it goes back to God's wisdom in the verses that we read, that there are really so many benefits to us for expressing gratitude. But in order for us to see this benefit, we have to commit to it as a practice. And again, as I mentioned before, seeing it as an active process that we can engage in rather than a passive one. So I was going to share with you two exercises that I do, and hopefully it'll be helpful to you. But I really try to make a deliberate effort to do this on a regular, if not daily, basis. So one of the exercises that I do on a daily basis is called the three good things exercise. And it's very simple. It involves you thinking back to your day about three good things that happened. And you try to be as specific as possible with the details and really feel that emotion of gratitude when you're reflecting on these three good things. So the things can be really small, like I had a great lunch with a coworker, or this person gave me a compliment and I was really grateful for that. Or it can be big, like, oh, I got a raise. Usually it ends up being a lot of small things, but that's the point of the exercise. And I find that it's a lot more helpful for me to do this before going to bed than scrolling through my phone or Twitter or checking email, which makes me a lot more anxious. And timing is really important in terms of developing a habit. So just like we do with our daily prayers, right, we try to build a habit. It involves doing the same thing around the same time over and over again. I do this exercise right before I go to bed. You can do it during Isha prayers, whatever that sort of fits within your routine, but really building it as an exercise. And you can also try writing it down in a notebook. So writing it down a lot of times is more effective because you create a physical record of your items by writing them down, and then you can even refer back to them when you're feeling down or you're fixating on something negative. And from personal experience, I should say that if you do try to do this, you might not feel much the first few times. And actually, sometimes it might be hard to think of three good things. But the more you practice, the stronger the feelings become. And at the beginning, you may even experience negative emotions like envy, resentment, or sadness. Because I think all of us are not as good at dwelling on good things as we are on bad things. To just give you an example, I remember once I wrote down in my notebook, and this is right sort of at my nightstand, so for those of you who journal, you can start incorporating that into this practice. But I had written, oh, I got this paper accepted for publication in an academic journal. And then my second thought or next automatic thoughts was, oh, but this other person I know got two papers published. Or, oh, if I had worked harder, maybe I would have gotten more publications. And so, you know, those negative thoughts sort of come right away. Or another time, I remember putting, oh, I got this compliment from a coworker. And then you have these negative thoughts of, well, but yesterday they made this other comment, and was this really a real compliment, or was this a backhanded, you know, and so you start going into the cycle and is second guessing, and I can give you a lot of examples like this. But I think what I'm trying to say is that over time it gets better, and by committing to doing this exercise regularly, you're slowly retrain your mind to generate more positive emotions and less negative ones. Another thing that I do, which I've also seen recommended in the positive psychology literature, is sharing gratitude by writing letters or emails, mostly emails these days, of course. But I find that it really brightens people's day just to say thank you. And I find a lot of joy in being able to spread positivity. And I think, again, it's an exercise that pushes me to think about this emotion as an action and how I can pay it forward to other people. So I'll include another poem from my favorite poet, Hafiz, that is on this theme, and it's titled Becoming Human. Once a man came to me and spoke for hours about his great visions of God he felt he was having. He asked me for confirmation, saying, "Are these wondrous dreams true?" I replied, "How many goats do you have?" He looked surprised and said, "I'm speaking of sublime visions, and you ask about goats." And I spoke again, saying, "Yes, brother, how many do you have?" "Well, Hafiz, I have 62. "How many rose bushes in your garden? How many children? Are your parents still alive? Do you feed the birds in winter?" And to all he answered. Then I said, "You asked me if I thought your visions were true. I would say that they were if they make you become more human, more kind to every creature and plant that you know." So just like the Quran teaches us in Surah Al-Rahman, repetition is key to living a grateful life, which has so many personal benefits for us, and includes not only feeling gratitude, but showing gratitude for the beauty around us, whether that is the individuals in our lives or the earth that we live in. And the question is, which of God's favors do you deny? فَبِأَيَّ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكُمَا تَكَذِّبَانِ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله. God commands justice, doing good, and generosity towards relatives, and God forbids what is shameful, blameworthy, and oppressive. God teaches you so that you may take heed. O Allah, please protect all of and help all of those who are suffering and those who are sick all around the world and in the United States, and free them from injustices. O Allah, please unite this ummah and free us from the divisions in our communities. O Allah, please accept our prayers and give us patience and the perspective to be grateful for the blessings in our lives.
Listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO.FM. That was Dr. Altaf Saadi with a lecture entitled The Transformative Power of Gratitude. Please help sustain our Islamic community by joining the MCCP monthly donor program, Seekers of Gratitude. We are looking for 20 seekers to contribute $60 a month to become part of our new monthly donor program. Imam Ghazali says, "Know that thankfulness is from the highest of stations, and it is higher than patience, fear, and detachment of the world. Your generosity and donations will go to help with the maintenance of the facilities and expansion efforts, as well as new programming. You can donate online at mccpdx.org/give. And please do not forget, KBOO, our radio station partners here, are in the midst of their autumn, their fall pledge drive. They're looking to raise $55,000 before October 15th. Over 80% of their budget comes regularly from listeners just like you. Please consider becoming a monthly sustaining member here at KBOO by visiting kboo.fm/give. Please follow the Muslim Community Center of Portland on Facebook for weekly lectures, videos, and updates. facebook.com/Muslim Community Center of Portland. On behalf of MCCP and KBOO, I wish you all a blessed day and thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
England.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. In